Hello and welcome to the Lipedema episode, the invisible illness that you weren't supposed to notice. So you may have been told that your pain is normal. You might have been blamed for your weight. You might have wondered why your legs don't match the rest of your body. You might wonder if you're out of shape, but maybe you actually have lipedema. It's underdiagnosed, it's under-researched, and it's under-supported. But women who do get diagnosed, we're not lazy, but we're drowning in lymph fluid, chronic pain, and medical gaslighting. If you don't know what lipedema is, it's a chronic progressive fat disorder that mainly affects women. It has a really abnormal accumulation of fat, mainly in the legs. So for me, mainly my ankles, calves, butt, thighs, hips. Sometimes people talk about arms as well. A lot of the time it's misdiagnosed as obesity, but it has a really distinct condition that is different to that. It's often genetic. It often runs in families. So symptoms can begin to worsen or begin around hormonal shifts. So for me, I noticed mine first in my teenage years. Pregnancy, breastfeeding, all seem to exacerbate it. And it's not just cosmetic. It's not that your legs just look fat and you can wear pants. It's actually very painful, very deep. I've always had legs that were incredibly sensitive to touch. So back in the day, I'm coming up 40, we all got our legs waxed. I couldn't stand somebody touching my ankles to wax my legs. The fat is quite resistant to diet and exercise, and a lot of women talk about it being heavy, bruised, or burning. I've always had quite a small upper body, but I would, no matter what diet and exercise I did, the bottom fat in my legs and my butt never moved, mainly around my calves, cankles, like my calves and my thighs were always the same size. There are five stages. I was starting to get into stage two when I discovered that is what I had. Stage four is the most progressive, and generally women with perimenopause, menopause, is when people see these stages start to really move along. I would imagine if I was in the start of stage two at 38, probably by 45, I would be in stage three, I would say, because I would be in perimenopause and I would be in that hormonal shift time where you start to move through different phases. Typically, the legs can look a little bit like a column, like, as I said, the same size, calves, thighs, same. Everyone looks different though. I did have kind of like a cuff of fat around my ankles that was noticeable. I felt fatigued, heavy. My legs were always hurting. I always wanted to put my feet up. And when I found out that this is what I had, and I only found out because I looked it up, and I went into the Facebook groups and had a look there. I'd encourage you to have a look at my blog and have a look at my photos, but of course, seek medical opinion, of course, for the diagnosis of lipedema. A lot of the research and clinical observations are now showing that lipedema is more prevalent in neurodivergent women, particularly women who have got hypermobility, ADHD, autism, Ehlers-Danlos. There isn't a cure, but the symptoms can be managed. You can use treatments like compression garments. So I wore compression 24/7 for 3 years. You can also get manual lymphatic drainage massage. You can do pool walking. You can do an anti-inflammatory diet. You can cut out alcohol. There's lots of lifestyle changes. The gym strength training is all supposed to be really beneficial. If you do choose to do surgery, there are some major funding gaps in Australia. Lipedema is not covered by Medicare or PBS. You are not going to get those rebates. A lot of women use their superannuation to try and get money out to try and pay for these operations. A lot of the time, the surgery is classified as cosmetic, despite all of the clinical evidence that it isn't. And because of that, it can be rejected by health funds, private health funds, can mean that you just have to pay upfront. In terms of cost, I researched the surgeons around Australia and everybody has a different thought pattern around it, right? I chose to fly to Sydney and see Dr. Somaya, who supposedly does the whole leg in one session. Now, the maximum that they can do the liposuction of the lipedema fat is 4 hours. So anything they get in the 4 hour period is all you've got. They cannot put you under for any longer just because of risk. So let's say if I was in stage two, I thought initially when I saw Dr. Somaya that he could get all of the fat in one operation and that would be it. However, when I saw him, he actually said to me, I'm going to have to do the lowest first. I'm going to have to do the upper second if you want all of this gone. I waited over 2 years for Dr. Somaya on a wait list. There's also a lot of people that go overseas, Germany and the US and other places for surgery that rave about it. There's a lot of Facebook groups. Check them out. Check my blog out. A lot of people do 2 to 4 operations and they take out between 5 and 10 liters per surgery. I had 9 liters out of my lower legs and 9 liters out of my upper legs. There is no cure for lipoedema yet. It is basically an early stage intervention to stop the slow progression. Liposuction gives back a lot of people mobility, energy, and life without pain. For me, I used to walk around with at least a 5 out of 10 pain through my lower legs particularly. Yes, I had pain from the operation, but I don't have that chronic pain that sat there, the heavy, burning, throbbing legs that I just have to put up on a seat constantly throughout the day. One of the things that makes this even more difficult is because this is a women's health issue. So we know that lipoedema mainly affects women, and most GPs don't know about it because it's a fairly new field. And a lot of us can be turned away. We can be told to use diet and exercise, go see a dietitian, but that doesn't actually solve it. It's also excluded from Medicare. There's no funding path, and the NDIS don't touch it either because they say it's not functionally disabling, which I would argue that it is, but anyway. So I suppose it's this real structural erase of neurodivergent women where we're told to lose weight, stop complaining, and just love our bodies instead of actually being believed that this is a really difficult thing that we are dealing with. If it was only that I had bigger legs, I would wear pants and probably not worry about it. It's the amount of pain and mobility and the compression that you have to wear just to be able to move around that really gets me. So let's talk about the operation for a minute. I chose to go ahead and do the operation in February. I had heard it was going to be incredibly painful. People that I've spoken to said to me, it's like a bushfire going through your legs. You cannot imagine the amount of stress onto the body. And I heard all of these things and thought to myself, well, that sounds like something that other people would have trouble with. I'm somebody that cooks a roast chicken after having a cesarean. Like, I should be fine. So it's not that I don't feel pain, but I will just push through. However, I went into the operation very nervous. I flew to Sydney by myself. I went into the operation by myself because, of course, my husband had to have the kids because we just don't have any family support. When I came out of the operation, I can tell you it was the most painful thing I've ever experienced. It was like burning, screaming pain through my body when I opened up my eyes. I begged for pain relief. I think my husband thought that I would be able to FaceTime or call. I texted him and put in so much pain, don't fucking call me, I think was what I said. And I was in an absolute mess of pain. I also had my period, which I was trying to manage at the same time. When I talk about the pain, I want to be specific. The specific part to the pain was putting my feet on the ground. It was like having needles come up through my feet, right up to my knees, and just burn and scream at me. It was that level of pain. You have to wear compression 24 hours a day for 12 weeks, which is very difficult to shower, self-care. The first 14 days is basically all swelling. Like, it's not even a linear path forward that you start to feel better. It is just, for me, 14 days of sheer pain. I felt nothing but pain for 14 days. I would lay in bed and just dread getting up. I couldn't face it. I wouldn't be able to speak to anybody. I'd be white. I'd have to shut the door. Don't speak to me while I get up. It wasn't even like quick pain that goes. It was like I am in 15 minutes of complete pain. It would be okay after I got walking, but as soon as I sat down and I got back up, it would come back. And at this point throughout the first surgery, if you follow me on Instagram, you know that we do a lot of wildlife caring. And our ducks, we had 3 flocks of ducklings and they got bird lice, which means we had bird lice through the house. Every time that I got bird lice on me, I had to have a shower. And because I could only wear these one pair of compression pants, I started to put them on wet. All of my legs were numb and I found that I had massive blisters that came up that I couldn't see or feel. My husband and I were so busy at the time, we didn't notice it, and it ended up with a massive infection that took about 5 weeks to heal. I didn't realize that the wound care that I would need was going to be quite intense. And to be honest, I didn't rest. I was stressed and I didn't look after myself well during this time. That was in February. And by the time I got to April, so we were kind of 8 to 10 weeks in at this point, I barely felt better. I still wasn't walking properly. I would say around 14 weeks, I started to actually walk properly. I started to feel a bit better. Now, a lot of people get better quicker than that. I didn't look after myself and I got a massive infection. Nobody could believe when I made the decision to go ahead and have a second surgery in July. The reasons that I did that was because I got so much decreased pain. Yes, my ankles felt like concrete because remember, they're actually sucking all the fat out through your ankles and through your knees for their lower legs. The reason I did the second surgery was purely because I got such a great result on the pain. Yes, my ankles felt like concrete, but I could see the light. If you have a look at my before and after photos on my blog, you'll be able to see the difference. Yes, I had scarring, but geez, I felt good. Now, I had been in compression over 3 years at this point, and I was thinking if I get the final part done in July on the upper legs, I can take compression for the first time for a Queensland summer. And that, for me, was worth pushing through. I had still got partially healing wounds in July. I was still struggling and still recovering with my concrete ankles, I call them. I had barely gotten back to the gym, but that was the only date that I could get. So I went ahead and did the second one in July. And a lot of people say the upper legs is not as painful because it doesn't have the joints. I went back down to Sydney for the operation. The pain on the second operation was definitely not as intense. It is completely different pain, to be honest. The lower legs, I felt like it was just difficult to put my foot on the ground. The ankles, the knees, very, very difficult. The upper legs was completely different. What I noticed straight away was my vagina went completely purple. It went completely swollen and it looked unrecognizable, which was creepy. It is incredibly hard to go to the toilet. I've got a padded toilet seat. I've got a shiwi, which I struggle with because, of course, I didn't learn to use the shiwi until I'd already had the operation and then I immediately weed all over myself, which was devastating because you've got one pair of compression at this point. It was so annoying. So what I noticed with the upper legs is that there is just so much pain through the thighs and through the butt and wherever you've got it done, but the joints aren't involved. It feels like a balloon. The swelling is so intense, it feels like it's a big balloon on both thighs that could pop at any moment because it's so full. And at the same time, all of the skin feels like sunburn. If a bit of wind touches any area on my leg, I feel like it's on fire. The compression actually feels much better to be on, but I'm having a lot of trouble going to the toilet, moving around, bending my knees, they're very swollen, and feeling a bit out of it, confused with a lot of the medication that I'm taking. I struggle with constipation when I take opioids, so I'm trying to grit and bear it with Panadol at the moment. However, I'm 10 days post-op on the upper legs at the moment. So I know I've only got 3 or 4 more days to get through, and then I will start to feel a little bit better. So the last 5 days I've had thrush and PMS. Now I have my period in thrush and I'm recovering from an operation. It is a good time to be a woman, isn't it? If we move forward for the cost for a minute, I've really tried to estimate the costs, and this is just an estimate of what I've seen, right? And what I've paid for myself as to just to do some totals, and I'm happy to put this in the blog. But I'd say it's around about $20,000 minimum for the operation. I'll put the breakdown into the blog, but we're talking surgery fees, hospital fees, anesthetic, you know, if you've got to do flights, travel, compression, all the follow-up care as well. And the post-op meds and dressings, all of this just starts to add up, as well as, of course, the cost of being off work, which I haven't added in because obviously that's different for everybody. One of the major problems with lipedema is it is a privileged problem because you have to be privileged to get diagnosed. You have to be privileged to have enough superannuation or some kind of funds to pay for it. And people in the general system may not even know they have it. They may not have any access to any of this care. For those people, they move through each stage with having less mobility, more pain for each stage, and they just have no way to deal with it. You can absolutely manage lipedema naturally with supplements and compression, pool walking. There's lots of things that you can do to stop progressing to the next stage. However, surgery is one of the main ways to manage lipedema. However, it's just not accessible to everybody, especially at that price per operation. So if you're listening to this episode and you're thinking, how did I not know about this? Why did nobody tell me? Lipedema is really undiagnosed. It's underfunded. It's mislabeled. It's often labeled as laziness, overeating, or just being vain or wanting cosmetic surgery. It's none of those things. It's genetic, progressive, and it's painful physically, emotionally, and trust me, it's financially painful as well. So if you've been dismissed, gone to a dietitian, told to lose weight, told to move more, and you can't seem to move the weight in your legs, you may have lipoedema. You may have to fight for your diagnosis. You may have to pay tens of thousands of dollars out of pocket or explain to someone else again that it's not just your legs, there's actually something going on chronically. We shouldn't have to bankrupt ourselves to walk around in pain. I'll pop in the show notes as much information as possible about how to get diagnosed, what to do next, and please check out my blog with photos. And more importantly than anything else, please share my blog. Please share this episode with anyone that you think might be affected or suffering with lipoedema and don't know it. Let's spread the word. Let's see if we can get this on the MBS or the PBS and actually get some support behind us women who struggle with this. Thank you so much for listening, and please pass this episode on to someone else who may need to listen.